with the outer world. Indeed, we have lived here so long that I swear I am turning into a cave dweller.
Love your funny words, Doc. You mean you think no way out of here?
That sums it up admirably, my dear lad.
Found place, far as can go. Roof fall like all passages. But sure way out, if we can get too far.
Jack took me there. I swear the air's cleaner. Can't see light or anything, but it just feels right.
How about the gateway? Can't you get that sec door open somehow? Use Grenz on it?
Booby-trapped. Whole place is. Jack and me have been all around and covered every single yard while we waited for Ryan to come back to us. I'll try it if we decide that's best.
I don't understand the danger. If we all take cover from the blast, the worst that can happen is that the door won't open.
No. We've come across a few places during the years me and Ryan have been together. Some still got active booby traps. One redoubt was wired a bit like this one. Linked up to some central control. Break into it, and a timer starts. Unless you got the comp code to stop it, the whole place will go up. I just worry that this might be the same sort of thing.
We'll wait and see what Ryan thinks when he comes all the way around.
Nobody argued with that. Ryan's eye opened. It wasn't Warwag 1, and it wasn't Talesville. In fact, it wasn't anywhere that he could remember seeing ever in his life before. His throat felt like it had been given a twice-over by a maddened Sticky. When he tried to swallow, it hurt. Cautiously, Ryan attempted to move his hands and feet, and was relieved to feel some sensation of life in the extremities. But a similar try at sitting up got him nowhere. The effort made him tremble, and the breath rasped painfully in his chest. By rolling his head sideways, Ryan could make out a little of his surroundings. He was on an iron bunk and covered with gray blankets. It looked like some kind of institution or a dormitory in the deeps of a...
Let out.
Then, very slowly, it all began to trickle back into his mind. Ryan heard the heels of Christie's boots clicking on the stone floor of the short corridor outside of the sick room. As she entered, she saw Ryan, lying as he had done for the endless days of the coma, flat on his back, hands at his side, his black hair curling over the pillow. His face was lined and thin, and had a deathly pallor. As she stared at him, his eyes snapped open, and his right hand lifted a few inches from the blankets.
Hi, Christie.
Oh, Ryan.
Botulism?
That's what I guess it was, or something very like it.
Never heard of it. You figure it was like a real bad gut rot?
Worse than gut rot. It wasn't ordinary food poisoning, Ryan. That shouldn't have presented any serious threat to someone in your condition. No, botulism can be a stone killer.
My neck still feels sore. And my face is still stiff. Like I've been smiling for 5 days solid.
Christie grinned at the idea of Ryan smiling even for 5 minutes solid. Jack was leaning against the wall, picking at his nails with the tip of one of his throwing knives.
When we go?
I suspect that our nearly departed comrade will require a few days of rest and recuperation before embarking on any journey away from this Keep Perilous.
He means I'm not strong enough yet, Jack.
If you were a patient in my ward, Ryan, it'd be a week before you got out of bed, and a month before you ever thought about setting foot outside the hospital. You have to realize what a damn close call this has been.
Yeah. Felt the wings of the Death Angel.
Mildred sat at the foot of his bunk. They'd managed to prop him up against a mound of pillows, and he was already looking better.
But Jack's right. We've been here too long. Have to try and get into the gateway real soon.
JB had briefed him on the scouting that he and Jack had done, explaining slowly to Ryan that there were only two possible options, and both of them were fraught with potential danger.
Try the sec door first. Maybe any booby trap will be long dead.
Maybe not, but I agree we try that first. We clear out our route to the place Jack found. If there's some sort of auto-destruct defense, then it could mean a fast exit.
Sure. Now, if you'd all like to go find something to do some other place, I want to get on with getting well again.
Not too much too soon. Your heart and lungs have taken a beating, Ryan. Remember, nobody loves a smartass.
The improvement in Ryan's health was amazing. If he'd been outside with some decent food and the sun on his face, then it could even have shifted up a gear into miraculous. Mildred searched the shelves of dried and canned food, trying to find anything that was even vaguely high in protein, and made sure that Ryan took plenty of liquids with extra glucose and fructose to help the muscles rehabilitate. Apart from that, it simply took a little hard work. 40 minutes exercise, sit-ups, push-ups, and some general loosening, then a 10-minute break. A brisk walk for a mile was next, trying to draw health from the dusty, ailing air of the redoubt. He jogged for 100 yards, then sprinted 100, followed by walking 100, over and over. In the first couple of days, Ryan did a whole lot of puking. First time he got out of bed, the room went spinning. His head felt like he'd been on a 3-day drunk in a pesthole gaudy, and he would have fallen if Christy hadn't been standing by his side. Exercise brought instant nausea. After just 6 push-ups, he lay flat on the cold floor with clenched fists, close to tears. He was angry and frustrated at his own appalling weakness, frightened that he might never get close to his previous level of fitness. At the end of the 3rd day, Ryan could manage 100 sit-ups, with Jack holding his ankles. Muscle tone was coming back, with the softness of the sickness being replaced by the beginning of iron sinews. He could manage to jog a full mile before running out of stamina. On the debit side, his throat was still painful, and he found it difficult to keep solid food down. The muscles of his face had relaxed again, and Mildred reported that pulse and respiration were both very nearly normal. On the evening of the 5th day, the companions sat around the table, the unwashed dishes in front of them. Doc Tanner, to keep himself occupied, had calculated that day how long the supplies of food could last them.
Assuming that we each live to something approaching a normal life expectancy, I estimate that young Jack, as the putative final survivor, would happily still be here in 60 years, thus leaving enough food for another dozen people for at least 87 years. You see, I imagine the possibility of the patter of tiny feet in these dank corridors.
Don't you talk about bringing children into this hellhole, Doc. Not now, and maybe not ever. You got that?
Christy rose to her feet and walked quickly out of the room.
Guess the strain's getting to her.
I'll go see her. I'm not too interested in pattering feet either, Doc.
Ryan jogged after Christy, seeing her near the next bend of the corridor.
Christy!
She paused, half looked around, then walked on out of sight. Ryan ran faster, almost bumping into her, where she'd stopped and was waiting for him.
Don't say anything, lover.
Fireblast, Christy. You think I don't know why you blew up at Doc back there?
Why?
One day you want us to settle down. Start a family someplace where it's safe and clean.
That's right, Ryan. And when's that going to be? Tomorrow? Next day? Next week? Next year? Sometime? Never?
Sometime.
You want children, lover? Do you really and truly want to stop running, fighting, and chilling? Do you?
Sure. I heard a song once about how you get one time around, then they nail the lid down on the box in the ground. One chance, Christy. I want that to be with you. I want kids. I want to leave some mark on the land, not just piles of unmarked graves. I'd love to have a child.
Christy suddenly shuddered, hugging herself around the middle. Ryan reached out and touched her arm, relieved when she didn't pull away from him.
What's the matter, lover?
When you said that about wanting a child, it... Gaia... like a feather across the back of my neck. Don't know why.
Come back to the others.
Ryan folded her into his arms, feeling the brittle tension as she resisted him. He kissed her on the cheek and rubbed his hand across her nape. The tightness of the crimson, sentient curls brushed against his fingers. Slowly, he could feel Christy relaxing. Her mouth was close to his face, and he was aware of her breath on his skin.
I thought you were gone, lover.
Yeah. I wasn't too aware of things. I was locked away into another time and another place. Way, way off.
Where?
Can't tell you for sure. It was like I was living another life inside my head. But it was real. A real time when that really happened to me.
Memories?
Dreams? Nightmares.
Good and bad, lover?
Ryan took a half step away, holding Christy at arm's length.
Yeah? Some good and some bad, I think.